Hi, I'm Sean Callahan from Anecdote here in Melbourne, Australia. Look, our company Anecdote has been going for about 6 years now, and we got into it in a peculiar way, I think, because I used to work in IBM, and you wouldn't think IBM would have anything to do with stories or storytelling, but in the time at IBM, I worked with a lot of organisations on collecting stories and helping people make sense of complex and messy issues. And in that time, we had a tremendous period of actually trying new techniques out and realising that, you know, the power of what we did was around getting people engaged, feeling the changes and actually really understanding what it really meant to see where we wanted to go and actually head in that direction. So we started Anecdote in 2004, and our work is sort of primarily focused on helping organisations sort of bring humanity back into organisations. We sort of feel that the whole left brain, rational, logical thinking is taken over many organisations. And we don't want to get rid of that, but we just want to balance it again. And I think that's what Anecdote is all about. Look, a while back, my business partner, Mark Schenk, had one of those situations in a workshop was quite surprising, but at the same time, taught him a very valuable lesson. He had built up this sort of view that, you know, that people don't leave organisations, they leave their manager. And if you've got a great manager, you know, that's fine. You can weather any sort of storm within an organisation that's dysfunctional in some way or another. And he was expounding this view in this workshop, and one of the participants just immediately just piped up and said, no, that's not the way it works at all, Mark. Now, Mark really did believe this, and so he could feel himself bristling inside. But to his credit, he held on to his composure, and he just sort of said, "Can you give me an example of what you mean?" Well, the participant sort of said, "Yeah, sure, absolutely. 3 years ago, I was in a large energy company, and the organisation was one of the most dysfunctional organisations I've ever worked for. But I had a great manager, and my manager tried everything she could do to sort of buffer me from all the things that were going on. But because this company lacked direction and there was multiple different sort of messages in terms of where it was going, in the end, I just could not stay there, and I left." Well, when Mark heard this story, he realised he had to change his perspective, that he had to take on a little bit more. It wasn't just the manager. There was this broader thing. So he changed his mind. That simple story that participant told him changed his mind. And I guess this is what the power of storytelling is all about. It's about not just using argument and opinion and, you know, well-crafted, persuasive sort of concepts, but just to be able to recount a specific experience so that when people hear it, it's evidence. And I guess what I'd like to talk about in the time that we have together is some of the things you can do with storytelling. How do you use it? Why is it important? And in a business context, what's the role of storytelling for leaders? Now, maybe let's start off a little bit about why we think storytelling is effective. I would say one of the probably the most important things is that storytelling, when you hear a story, it's memorable. It's quite different to just hearing the dot points, getting the argument, getting the facts. And I know this has been illustrated to me many, many times, but no better time when I did a little project for IBM. Now, IBM has a technical sales force who come together every year for what they call their technical sales university. And on this particular occasion, they asked me to come and speak about storytelling. I went along to the event, and there was about 150 people in the audience. And the gentleman before me, the guy who was speaking before me, was in IBM parlance. They call him a distinguished engineer. Now, this distinguished engineer was an expert in a whole range of different areas, but he was giving a talk in this case on the role of privacy in technology. Well, he gave his talk, you know, supported by PowerPoint slides, and the PowerPoint slides were just absolutely jam-packed with graphs and data points and dot points. It was, you know, you can just imagine it. You couldn't fit anything more onto these slides. And in the middle of his presentation, he had these 7 points, which were sort of like the crux of what he was talking about. Anyway, at the end of his talk, he came off the stage and there was about 10 minutes before I had to get up and talk. And so I went over to him. His name was Dan. I said, Dan, that was really interesting. I love that talk. Would you mind if I use one of your slides to illustrate something I want to talk about? And I told him what I was going to do. And he was a curious, you know, guy interested in different ideas. And he said, yeah, this sounds fantastic. So I got up to talk. And the first thing I said was, okay, you've heard Dan speak. He had 7 points that really were the crux of his presentation. Hands up, anyone who can tell me 2 of those points without looking at your notes. Well, I just let it hang there for a while, and there was not one hand that went up. And eventually people were taking sneaky peeks in their notes just to, you know, give them a bit of comfort that they actually remembered something out of it. And I said, okay, that's fine. He said, but at the same time, Dan spoke about some video cameras and HP. Who could tell me about that? Well, there was a sea of hands that just sort of rose up immediately. And I said, see, this is the difference between data alone and stories. Dan had told a story about how HP had sort of inappropriately put video cameras into areas within the workplace. And people remembered it. And they could tell it. They could recount it. So those stories, they say the estimate is about storytelling is about 22 times more memorable than facts alone. So it's a phenomenal difference. And one of the reasons why it is more memorable is that when someone recounts a story, a bit like the story I just told you there about the IBM technical salespeople, is it creates a picture in your mind. Now, as you were listening to my story, could you actually see me standing up and if you like, giving that talk? Could you see the technical salespeople in the audience not putting their hands up or taking little peeks at their notes? Or then when all the hands went up, could you see that? And because it's visual, you actually remember it. It's more seared into your memory. It doesn't lack context. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that when someone recounts a specific experience, It actually shows the listener what behaviours are required, you know, what specific behaviours, concrete specific things. And as a result of that, people are very attentive to stories. They want to hear it because it gives them guidance on what to do. I reckon one of the best examples of this is from the company Ritz-Carlton. These guys have, you know, they're renowned for customer service, right? That's their thing. And the way they do it, the way they embed, you know, great customer service is they don't go around and giving presentations on, you know, here are the 5 things you need to do to give good customer service. What they do is every month they ask their staff members to submit stories of great customer service, right? And then they take those stories, they take one of those stories and then they push that out to all of their team leaders, and they get the team together and the team leader reads the story out and then just ask a couple of questions. Things like, so you've heard that story, you know, what's most significant about it? And people will say things like, oh, well, you know, the person there obviously had the confidence in themselves to, you know, move away from their post and actually help the customer out who's over here. Or, you know, it's obvious that they've got the skills and training required to deliver that sort of customer service. So in that conversation, they start to embed, if you like, the behaviours required. And they get those behaviours from those concrete examples of the stories. So I think they're probably 2 of the main things that you really get from storytelling. And this is important for leaders because leaders are trying to change behaviours in organisations. They're trying to change the actions. You're trying to change minds. And you do this by engaging people with these stories. Now, to be a better storyteller, I'll leave you with just a couple of tips because, you know, you want to turn this into action as quickly as possible. And probably the first tip is that you need to start to become a bit of a story collector. You need to start to become mindful of the stories that are, you know, swirling around you in every day. You know, we're just totally immersed in stories, but it's just like a fish in water. We actually don't see them. But you start to pick up on these stories and then you can start to realise that the little day-to-day things that are happening, you can actually bring in to meetings and presentations. Let me give you a little example. This happened probably about 3 months ago. My business partner went to pick up a friend from the Qantas. You know, a flight was coming in. He went to the airport to pick up his friend, and he happened to have his mother with him. Now, he wasn't flying that day, but his mother, who's, you know, in her 70s, felt like a cup of tea. Now, Mark is a platinum-level member of the Qantas Lounge. And so he went in with his mother, his little old sort of 70-year-old mother, into the Qantas Lounge and said, look, will you mind if I came in? I'm a platinum member. Can I come in and give my mother a cup of tea? Well, the Qantas Lounge said, no, you can't. The rules are you can only come into the lounge unless you're flying on that day. And Mark says, but I'm here just about every second day. I'm a platinum member. No, no, that's just how it is. Well, it so happened on the same day I was flying, actually I was picking someone up from Virgin Blue here in Australia. And I had my daughter with me. And as we were going down, she said to me, my daughter who's 15, she said, I need to go to the toilet, Dad. And I said, oh, no worries. Look, there's a lounge there. I'll ask if we can pop in and use the toilet. Well, I walked in and the lady said, look, the rules are that, you know, you're really not supposed to bring people in when you're not flying on the day, but hey, there's the toilet over there. Pop in. Now, as Mark and I were talking about that night, we realised that it's a great little story about the difference between adhering to principles versus adhering to rules. And so now we use that story whenever we come up against a situation where someone is very rule-bound. We sort of say, do you want to act like the Qantas Lounge people or do you want to act like the Virgin Lounge people? You know, it's just a little story that happens from a day-to-day life. You can then start to apply that. So that's the first thing. You need to really start to be aware of the stories that are swirling around you. The second thing is that in using your stories, I would say that there's two things that people are thinking about when they hear a story. The first thing is that they have this question about, is this relevant, right? Is this relevant? And it's important for you to have in your mind what's the point of your story. Sometimes I hear stories told and I wonder, you know, why are they telling that story? It doesn't seem to be connected to the context of the conversation. So really having a clear understanding what your point is important. The second thing is that really, and that can, by the way, on the point side of things, you can very well put that together by whenever you have an idea and you want to convey it to them, just start off with, look, my point is you should try to adhere to your principles rather than be hidebound by your rules. For example, and then you tell your story, right? So having a point, then an example, really helps to articulate very clearly what's the relevance of the story you're about to tell. But you know what, there's many other ways to use stories, if you like. Storytelling is really only a part of it. It's a very interesting part, but really I think some of the even bigger benefits happen in other areas. One of the areas that we've been doing quite a bit of work with is actually helping organisations articulate their strategy as a story. Now, I used to work at IBM back in the 90s. And at the time, Lou Gerstner was the CEO, and he was the guy who really turned around IBM. And Lou was interesting because he had this interesting career where he'd started off as a McKinsey's consultant, you know, went and worked for Nabisco and then American Express and then IBM. And he would often say, you know, you would hear this through the IBM channels, that he would often say that, look, strategy development is actually kind of straightforward. You know, you have to do the analysis and pull things together to develop a good strategy. And the truth of it is there's not that many unique strategies. If it's totally unique, you're taking a big risk in some way. But you know what's hard? It's actually strategy execution, right? Actually making your strategy happen. And to him, he said, look, there's three things you need to have good strategy execution. You need to firstly have world-class processes. You know, get your processes down pat. Make sure you're benchmarking them against other great organisations and, you know, absolutely have world-class processes. The second is to have a high-performance culture. You know, an organisation where you just feel that, you know, everyone is driving to be the best they absolutely can be. But then the third one, and I think this is the one that I want to talk about, and that is you must have strategic clarity. So from the top of the organisation all the way through to the people at the coalface, everyone needs to know what the strategy is in a way that they can articulate it and understand it. So one way in which you can do that is to actually create a story that illustrates that strategy. One of the examples I'd like to share here is something that we did for a public insurance company here in Victoria in Australia. They're called the Transport Accident Commission. And these guys provide the ability for people to recover from road trauma accidents. And they're in a situation where they had a fairly new CEO. The CEO wanted to pull together the executive in a way that everyone was telling the same story and then cascading that story all the way through the organisation. So I came in and worked with that group. And the first thing we did was I sort of said, okay, explain to me your strategy. And after a while, they were able to sort of start to articulate the key aspects of the strategy. And I said, look, we can turn this into a very simple story using this particular structure. And I said, the structure is like this. In the past, it was like this. Then something happens. And as a result of that, we're going to do these four or five things so that in the future we can be like that. And that was the structure, I said to them. And we worked together in a workshop and they actually started to build their story. Now, it was very interesting that the crux of that story always comes around the then something happened. And the reason why the then something happened is so important is that it answers a question of why. How many times in an organization you hear what the strategy is and then everyone's going, well, why are we trying to increase our size by X-fold? Why are we taking a customer focus approach? Why are we, you know, expanding into Asia? People always have why questions. Well, the story and the turning point in the story gives you the why. And so you really got to get a good understanding of that and reflect that in some way. Well, the TAC did that and we helped them cascade that through their organisation. But the thing that I thought was probably the most important part is we ended up creating a big poster which had the strategic story across the top and the seven things that they were going to do so that each team had one of these posters and they could put post-it notes of the things that team was actually doing to make progress on the strategy. So you had a connection from the very top of the organisation right on the way through it so that everyone knew what they were doing was somehow reinforcing the strategy in some way. And to me, that's strategic clarity. And the last one I'll leave with you is actually around mentoring. Now, you wouldn't think storytelling and mentoring, how do those two things come together? Well, the way in which we tackle things like mentoring, also leadership development, is that we start off by assuming that this is already happening in the organisation. Somewhere in the organisation, there are already people doing fantastic jobs at mentoring. In fact, there's a lovely quote by an author, a sci-fi author called William Gibson, and he said, "The future is already here. It's just unevenly distributed." Right, so out in these big organisations, there are people who are doing things that represent your future. So we would go out and we would collect the stories of these people and how they were doing it and why they were doing it. And then what we would do is we would take all these stories into workshops and get people to work with those, identify the behaviours themselves, not have an expert come in and say, okay, to be good at mentoring, you need to do these five things. That doesn't work, right? Because people don't want to be told, especially professional people, they don't want to be told. They want to learn it themselves. They want to discover it themselves. So they discover it from the stories. And then once they've discovered it, they can then start to get practice around some of the key things they might do. So in this mentoring program that we're doing for a big manufacturing company, the things that come out are, you know, you have to be a good listener. You need to be able to challenge the person you're mentoring. You need to share your experiences with stories. These types of things, you know, you could have easily probably second-guessed them, but because they worked those things out themselves, it sticks with them. And I think that's one of the crux of how you can use stories, really to give a sense of where it's working and how you can actually do it. What's the concrete example? So let's just wrap this up, okay? And I guess the things I'd like to say is that it's important for us to be able to find and tell our stories as leaders. That just becomes one of the key ways in which we influence people. It's the key way in which we engage people. And it's just very good for our own capability too, because when we hear our own stories, we start to reflect on how we learn. So that's it becomes a capability building exercise. But it's not just storytelling. The other examples I gave you were sort of like story listening. You know, you need to be able to extract these stories and listen to them and use them in a range of different ways. And in some cases, it's actually very helpful to trigger these stories. So I think that's the triumvirate, if you like, of story work, is to be able to listen to them, tell them, and trigger them. So I guess I have a challenge for you. You know, I've given you a whole lot of information on stories, but the thing is, it's all to do with practice. You actually have to do this stuff. And you do it really by setting yourself some reminders, to simple things to start with, really. For example, if in the next week you just went to each meeting and made it a point of identifying the stories that are actually being told and just jotting them down, you'll start to become more mindful of the stories that are happening around you. So that's one of the first parts. The second one is, I think it's about giving yourself an opportunity to find some of your own experiences and make sure that you're actually telling them in these meetings, in your interactions with staff members, even with partners and people outside the organisation. The only way you get better at telling stories is to tell stories. And the only way a story gets better is by telling the same story multiple times, okay? Now, you've got to be very careful about that. You don't want to be sort of saying the same story over and over again to the same audiences. People don't like that so much. But the thing is, don't go into a little room and try to memorize a story as a way of learning a story. The best way of telling the story is just get out there and tell it and notice the response. What do people like? You know, What do they get excited about? What do they look like they're going a bit dull on when you're telling that story? So that's your challenge. Your challenge is this happens through practice. And they say it takes about 21 days of concerted effort to build a new habit. So maybe in the next 21 days, you've got to think stories, act stories, and let's see what happens after that 21 days, because I think you'll be amazed at what impact that will have for your leadership. We'll